Hey, 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 Kevin Guthrie here, talking all things mental health and well-being. Happy New Year. It is now 2020. This is our first release of a new year, a brand new year. And we wanted to do a special. So, you know, we always have a guest in the studio. Today, we've got two guests in the studio. So we have Josh Burkett. Welcome, Josh.
Yeah, thank you. How are you doing? You all right?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking. And Ellie Druitt. Was that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Thank you. So we're going to talk. Josh, just give me a little bit of background about why you're here today. We're going to talk about sport, the link between sport, exercise and mental health. What would be your background?
So I'm obviously from Newark. I'm currently at the Magnus School. I play football for Boston United Academy and Nottinghamshire. I'm under 16 captain for Nottinghamshire county team. And I was in the studio with Mick Bradley from the sports show. I've been like involved with Radio Newark for a couple of years now. And Matt said he was impressed with what I had to say last time, so he invited me to come today.
Oh, nice one. Yeah. Did you enjoy the show with
Mick?
Mick?
Yeah, it was good, thank you. Yeah, spot on.
Excellent. And Ellie, why would you be here today? What would be your link into mental health and wellbeing and exercise?
Okay, so I work for Active for Today, and my director actually put me on to this. She said she thought that I'd be a good person to come and talk about it. So I work as a personal trainer, so I work with a lot of people one-to-one every day, and I also work on a more strategic level as an active lifestyles officer. So I work with trying to get people into physical activity who maybe aren't doing it to start with, and with special focus for people who might have more barriers towards it. So, for example, people with mental health problems.
Okay. Do you find a lot of resistance there?
In terms of,
I just wonder whether there's people out there that you are trying to introduce the concept of some sort of physical exercise, if you come across a lot of barriers.
People. The hardest barrier to overcome is some people just don't want to.
Yeah.
So I know that sounds obvious, but a lot of people want to try and do something, but there's barriers there.
Yeah.
Some people aren't interested. So they don't, for whatever reason, they can't see the benefit. They're not interested in the benefit.
Yeah.
And they just don't think it applies to them. And those are the hardest people to get to, because when there's a will, there's a way. But if there's not the will there, then it's very, very hard to get it into people. But you can't. It's not impossible. It's just hard.
I guess it's a little bit like me and personal therapy, not me personally with personal therapy, but if a person can enter into my private practice, and if they're not ready to make those changes mentally, then they just won't. Even though they'll step through the door and pay me money privately, they still expect me to make the changes, and that's not going to happen. I guess it's exactly the same there.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it. I would have said it exactly the same. So with clients, sometimes, they think they've paid the money, so that's the work, and that's it. And if they, I can always tell straight away whether they're engaged or not. There's always going to be an excuse that you can't do it. There's always going to be something that comes up in a week that means you can't do it.
Mentally
but
engaged.
I always try and keep it positive, and I'll be like, if most people, when they're trying to get into activity, they'll have like a few goes before it's the go that sticks.
Yeah.
So I just say, think of it as this go is closer to the one that works. So it's not a waste of time. It's just, it wasn't this time, but it might be next time.
Yeah. Josh, what are you saying then? Sorry.
So, like, trial and error.
Yes. Yeah.
You've got to try different sports, different activities, different ways of training to find something that you love. And especially if you're starting at a later age, like some people like me, football is always going to be football because that was what I was kind of born into. And going to the gym, and obviously because my stepdad owns a gym, so that I've always been around physical activity.
Yeah.
But whereas some people, they don't discover the gym or they don't discover activity till they're at a later age.
Yeah.
And that's when it's so hard to see if people want it or not, because like you say, people can come and give a personal trainer 30 quid to train him for an hour.
Yeah.
But if you get that £30 and you're not willing to try your hardest, it's arguably a waste of time. And it's like finding the way which makes you comfortable to train.
Yeah. For me, there just has to be that mental, you have to be ready mentally. I used to manage a gym in Mansfield. And I remember doing one of my first qualifications in exercise. And even then we had to do it's like a case study or a proposed kind of, this is how I'm going to run my business. And I remember writing into there, and I was at this point, I was about 28, 30. And I remember writing into there, I will do some sort of questionnaire that will determine whether people were mentally ready to do the exercise. And if they weren't, then I wasn't going to use them as clients, because I wouldn't want that bad name putting on to me. Because usually what happens is, particularly now in private therapy, I kind of almost imagine people going away and going, yeah, he wasn't very good, so nothing happened and nothing changed. Yeah. And as a personal trainer, this exactly the same could happen. So for me, it's that mental link, that being mentally ready, is massively important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that, because like I look at it from a football point of view.
Yeah.
Like this season, like personal experience is a way to look at it. We went through pre-season. Was as a team, we was physically as fit as we've ever been. Yeah. We was hitting like PBs and everything. We're just doing everything really well. But it comes to the first game of the season, and maybe you got a bit of pressure. Maybe something wasn't right. You didn't follow the routine we're meant to follow.
Yeah.
And we got beat on the first game of the season.
Right.
And you look at that and you're like, after all that hard work, I was the fittest I've ever been.
Yeah.
As in the best shape I've ever been. But it's okay being physically prepared for any sort of exercise. But if you're not mentally prepared for the exercise, you've already lost before even starting, because it is, your mind controls everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, you can physically be the best at everything, but if you're not mentally prepared, you're going to struggle. And obviously, after getting through that mental block, we haven't lost a game since. So it's like, we were physically prepared, but because we haven't been used to playing, because it's been off-season and everything, when we got through that block of like the nerves and everything, and we got mentally prepared, then we can reach the heights that we know we can.
So how did you get through that block?
I think getting through that block is reflecting. It's like, after losing the game, you're angry.
Yeah.
You're upset, you're angry, you're like, maybe this is a waste of time. I've been waking up at 5 a.m. to train, and we've lost. Like, you obviously, straight away, anger, you're like, this is a waste of time.
Yeah.
We're not good enough, it's going to be a long season. But if you come together and you say, this is what we've done wrong, this is what we need to start doing, what didn't go right, and you reflect on it, you look back on it, and you get a positive, kind of positive vibe going, anything's possible.
Yeah.
And that's where we all came together and turned a negative into a positive, because I think if we didn't lose that first game of the season, we wouldn't be top of the league now. And I think it's like,
it's a really good point.
It's a really good, like, memory. Yeah.
Well, you turned something that was potentially damaging and really unhealthy into an absolute positive by doing that bit of reflection.
Yeah.
Ali, for you, if you were working with like private clients, or you were trying to get people in and you could sense that mental block, how would you help them remove that? You can't remove it for them, but how would you, is there anything you would do?
I think what I generally try and do is, I can normally tell when somebody's not in it. Like, for an example, I had a lady and her husband was very ill, and she felt like she'd put on a bit of weight, she felt like she should be doing something about it, but she did not have the brain space for it. She wasn't.
Yeah.
So she was late for appointments, chopping and changing appointments, not prepared when she was coming. And I knew it wasn't a good time for her, and she wasn't ready. She wasn't in the right time to do it.
Yeah.
So what I tried to do is just make it that don't be harsh on yourself. Don't think I've been a failure. Just think it just maybe wasn't right at the right time.
Yeah.
I'm here. We'll pick up again whenever you feel like ready. And she did. She came. She had a few months. I wasn't sure whether she'd come back, but she had a few months. And because she knew there was somewhere without judgment and like a safe kind of place to go back to when she was ready, she came back. And now she's been with me for about 6 months. And she's doing great because she's ready now.
Yeah.
So trying to force yourself to do it when you're not ready, you'll just feel like a failure. So you have to just wait until they are ready, and then they can do it.
I wonder if it could actually be more damaging if you try and force through that.
I think so, yeah, because it just reinforces that you're a failure.
Yes.
The way you've got to see it, I think, is if you get injured, you rest. If, like, you know yourself, everyone here trains. If you train and you've got an injury, you rest that. You might have a week off, you might have 2 weeks off. But people don't see it of resting something which is mental, like mentally.
Yeah.
Like if you've got something going on at home, maybe it might be something as stupid as you've been, like with me, I'm doing my GCSEs, I might be a bit stressed out with revision or with schoolwork, or I'm a bit disappointed with my mock results, anything like that. That has a mental effect on you, and you don't think about stepping back for a few days and having a rest from that.
Yeah.
You don't think, right, I'm going to have 2 days off, I'm not going to do any revision because I just feel a bit down about it and everything. You wouldn't do that. Whereas if you physically injured yourself, if you walked into a door and you felt dizzy, you'd go to sleep and you'd rest or you'd try and recover. Yeah. Whereas mentally, there's not that education there to help someone recover. And that's where people like Ellie have got to come in and they've got to say, like, you're not ready now. rest, come back to me when you're stronger.
Yeah.
And that is what it's about. It's about mental strength just as much as physical strength.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I think is quite useful for people is to try and, like what we were mentioning, try and break down what they think is of exercise. Yeah. So be like, you might not be able to commit to coming twice a week and doing a hard session, but you might be able to commit to coming even once a week, going on the cross trainer and listening to something on the telly for 20 minutes because something's better than nothing. Mm. So any little thing that you can do, even if you're not ready to go the whole hog, just try do a bit and whatever you can manage, do that. And then that's kind of like a bit of a gateway, hopefully, into doing a bit more.
The mind will just create its own little blocks. I remember years ago, having to trick my mind into going to the gym. Mm. And I used to do this thing where I'm not sure I can mention the brand that says, just do it.
Yeah.
I was saying that personally to myself about 10 years before they brought that saying out, literally. So I would, in my head, I just said, just don't think about what you can do. Just do it, just do it, just do it. And I'd walk upstairs, get changed, arrive at the gym. Before I'd really engaged in what I was doing, I was halfway through a workout and I was like, oh, wow, I've nearly done it.
Yeah.
It's never as bad when you're there and everybody says it. Once you're in, once you've done it, you're all right. Once you get, it's getting there. That's what everybody struggles with. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got another trick with that for anybody listening that needs tricks to get into a gym or to engage in any kind of exercise that you enjoy doing. So the trick is to, sometimes if I don't want to go to the gym, I'll say, right, I'm going to go and I'm going to walk on the jogger for 5 minutes. That's all I'm going to do. And then I'm going to leave. And then my mind goes, oh, all right then. Yeah, we can do that. So I arrive, I get onto the jogger. Usually within 5 minutes, I'm over that. I'm in the gym. And then an hour later, I've done my workout and I leave. But it's about tricking the mind into going, it's just going to be 5 minutes. It's fine. Get over it. Because the mind kind of goes into, I don't want to exercise.
Yeah.
It's a really good book called The Chimp Paradox. And it's about the chimp kind of undermining us a little bit and going, no, you don't want to do that. Stay home and watch TV. It's great. Have another cup of tea and a donut.
Yeah, I've got a book at home which is really similar to it. It's aimed at I read it a few years ago when I just started training a bit more of a higher intensity. And it was it's aimed at 14 to 16 year olds. Yeah. And it's called My Hidden Chimp.
Yeah.
And it's like, some days, especially being a teenager, the hardest thing for me was waking up on a Saturday or a Sunday morning or even a day after school and seeing that my friends have tried ringing me 20, 30 times and they're all going out to youth clubs or just going out playing FIFA on their Xbox. And the hardest thing for me was looking at my phone and going, oh, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to go out tonight. But then I go and say to my mum, and she's like, oh, you've got football or you've got training, you've got to do this. And that was the hardest part for me, was dealing with going to school the next day and everyone saying, oh, did you see that last night? I'm like, no, I didn't. No, I was out in freezing cold running around. It's like that mental barrier.
Yeah.
I think, especially for young athletes who are playing at a decent level, it's getting through, you got to commit, haven't you? And it's about commitment. Yeah. And you've got to be willing to commit the hour at the gym to get an hour's progress. The way you've got to see it is if you go and train for 2 hours or if you only go and train for 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes progress. Yeah. And I think it's all about progress. And people don't see the progress.
Yeah.
Because it's a mental block yet again. You go to the gym for an hour a week and you're probably not going to see that much physical change. But mentally, if you have the right mental well-being and the right mental, to get rid of that mental block, you'll see the progress mentally, not just physically.
I think sometimes people enter into exercise or into any sport where they want to improve and they really want to see a massive improvements quickly. And for me, I wonder whether that's the biggest hurdle there, because they've been training for a week and go, why have I not lost a stone in weight?
Mm.
Well, because you've been training for a week. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's sort of, they've always, advertisements are the problem with that, because obviously it's a good sell.
Yeah.
So if you can sell teas and detox herbs and stimulants and all this stuff and whatever else they sell, wraps and creams and that are going to make you look like you've been training for 3 years in 10 minutes, then that's an easy sell for people, isn't it?
Yeah.
So telling people that you just have to plug away at it and eat right most of the time and train most of the time for years is not, it's not a sexy sell compared to this tablet that you can take and then you're going to lose half a stone in 2 days.
Yeah.
So you're fighting against all these unrealistic, all these before and afters on Instagram.
Yeah, that's the biggest.
You're fighting against all that with this boring, sensible message, which is hard for people, and people don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
But that's where I really try and focus, not on aesthetics for the gym. So I say there's all these reasons that training is great. Like there's so many good reasons to train. If you have aesthetic results as a bonus, that's a bonus. But think about all the other good things about it. So that's not your end goal.
Yeah.
I think social media is the biggest barrier.
Yeah.
For me, being young and being at school and seeing people start the gym, and when a new gym's open in Newark, everyone wants to go there because it's a new gym. They're going to... like, I see it at like a teenage level.
Yeah.
Like my friends, like I'll have maybe have a few friends in the new year, so I'm going to start going to the gym.
Yeah.
And they'll start going to the gym. They'll do it for probably a month or two, and then that'll be it.
Yeah.
And it's that education of saying that if you're going to train for a month, you could train for a month at high intensity, 7 days a week, if you really wanted to, and you're probably not going to see that much progress.
Yeah.
And it's the education that if you just go into the gym for an hour a week, you're not going to see significant changes. But it's not about looking like a 30-year-old man who's been training for 15 years.
Yeah.
It's about the body. It's about the benefits. People need to say, this is the benefits of exercise. The benefits, it's good for you, it's good for this, it's good for that. And it's not all about looking, being the biggest in the gym or being in the best shape, being able to run the longest in class.
Yeah.
It's about like the benefits from such an early
stress
release. It's like a stress release, isn't it?
Yeah.
You go to the gym for half an hour and you're on the cross training for 30 minutes and you're a teenager and you're doing your GCSEs, it's going to help you. Or if you just want to have more confidence within yourself, it's all about self-confidence and self-love. That's what I think.
Yeah. Self-love, self-respect, self-worth.
Everything's self. It's all about you, isn't it?
Self-esteem. Yeah. They all mean the same thing.
Yeah.
I have a theory on self-respect. Self-respect, self-esteem, self-worth, that if we were taught all of those things in school, all of those things meaning the same thing, if we were taught that in school, all of a sudden obesity rates would drop, alcoholism would drop, drug taking would drop. I'm not saying we would get rid of it completely, but all of those areas would drop massively, because if we had or were taught what self-respect really means, everything, because all of those things are kind of on a continuum of self-abuse.
Yeah.
They are, you know, when we talk about self-harm, they are all self-harm in one way or another.
It's like at school at the minute, a lot of my teachers focus on respect.
Yeah.
And about if you respect each other, anti-bullying and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go and bully somebody at school, but I'd look in the mirror and I'd bully myself. It's like that, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's about self-respect. You would respect, they go, everyone says, treat people how you want to be treated.
Yeah.
But the thing is, most people nowadays will respect anybody for whatever they are, whoever they are. But then they'll go home and they'll disrespect themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's okay educating about respect. And over the years, we've seen progress in respect.
Yeah.
Everyone's treated the same now, roughly. Obviously, there's still progress to be made, but compared to how it used to be, it's a lot more respect. You've got to treat others how you want to be treated and stuff like that. But maybe if in the education system, they brought in ways where we can learn about self-respect and self-love, about how you've got to respect yourself as much as respecting somebody else.
Yeah. And that's the thing with exercise as well, that I try and change how people, because a lot of people, because of years of dieting, and you have to do the exercise is like a punishment.
Yeah.
So it's you have to do the exercise because you've eaten the whatever.
Yeah.
So you have to do it to earn your food or whatever. And it's everybody hates it and it's a horrible thing, but you have to do it because you've been greedy or whatever.
It becomes a game, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So trying to switch that into something that's good for you and that you're doing it because you like yourself as opposed to something that you're punishing yourself with is like a big switch of thinking for people. But once you change that, then it becomes less of a thing that you have to do and more of a thing that you want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think that that self-respect and self-worth are the foundations, they are the absolute foundations of life. You said something earlier about not making it about the aesthetics and making it about other things, and I think that's really powerful, because if it is just about the aesthetics, then it's usually aesthetics are about the way people see us.
Yeah.
It's not about the way that we... It is about the way we see ourselves, but it's usually because people go, oh, you've lost weight, you look really well, and yada yada, and all of that. Nearly swore then. And all of that. And it's not about that. But if you teach it from the inner side, and so how's your breathing? Are you getting healthier? Are you getting fitter? And all of those areas, then all of a sudden it changes the ball game entirely.
Yeah, and it's... You get the... the results, so there's obviously the health benefits, there's like there's so much, you could go on forever, but the short-term benefits in terms of how you feel, like your mood, they are really short, they're instant gratification, whereas the if you're doing it for the weight or whatever, losing weight, that's going to be a long time before you see anything. So that's why, like you were saying, people drop off because they don't perceive the benefit yet. So if that's not the benefit that you're solely focusing on, if you're thinking, do you feel better today, are you moving better, are you less achy when you get up, are you able to walk a little bit further, a little bit faster, then those things you can see them sooner, so it's less likely to drop off over time.
We talked about mood then, so the effects that you can get from after you've done some exercise and you leave the gym. Just to point out, I don't get any of that. I don't go to the gym and walk away on an absolute high. But what I do get is, if I don't go to the gym, my mood will begin to drop.
So
it kind of works in reverse a little bit. So just for anybody listening, don't always look for the endorphins, but look for how overall your mood just lifts.
Your mood changes. One of the, like from personal experience, is when I started training and going to the gym, and I've started doing something. Even some days, I might only go for a walk around the lake or around down the river. Just a walk. Getting out and doing something has a positive impact on you. Like, because you could, anyone can lay in bed all day. And it's like, you just feel fatigued and tired and stuff like that. Whereas if you get out and do something, like, well, this is, I'm contradicting myself a little bit here, but...
go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to go for it anyway. basically, like, there's this saying that if you sit down all day, and you're so-called resting, you actually feel more tired than somebody who gets up and probably runs in the morning. And I think the more you sit down and the more you tell yourself, I'm tired, I don't want to go to the gym, it becomes the mental barrier again comes in, and it like blocks out any progress being able to have made. If you know what I mean by that.
Absolutely. There's, for me, life is about balance.
Yes.
And there's a balance between resting a little bit and being kind to yourself and maybe watching a little bit of TV. And then doing some physical exercise. And physical exercise can be a walk around the lake.
Yeah, it can be anything, can't it?
Absolutely. So, what are our thoughts on the types of exercises that people could do? Because again, when we hear the word exercise, I almost feel people recoil sometimes when we talk about exercise. So, from your perspectives, both of you, what would you class as exercise?
I would class exercise as any sustained movement that raises your heart rate a little bit.
And that could be a walk. Because walking outside, because we're quite stationary as humans, so just walking around, to use your example, Josh, the lake, raises the heart rate a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's. I think exercise is anything which, like Ellie said, raises your heart rate. It's not, everyone's got this delusion of exercise is about going to the gym. I think people who even, if you went to a local Sunday league football team who play on a Sunday morning, like a pub team, and you said to them, do you exercise? I guarantee you, every one of them would say no. But if you point out to them, well, you train on a Thursday night for an hour down at the local park and you play on a Sunday, you exercise. But people have this barrier that to exercise, you have to be massive or you have to be super skinny, or you have to wear the certain clothes which everyone in the gym wears. You've got to look a certain way. You've got to love yourself. Exercise is anything which raises your heart rate. And I can't stress that enough. I do it to everyone. I even do it to my own mum. Exercise is anything which raises your heart rate.
Above its normal...
normal, kind of your resting heart rate.
Absolutely. So, again, walking is... For me, walking is one of those really... beautiful exercises that you can just do whenever and wherever, and it's just amazing.
You don't need any money, you don't need any kit, you don't need anything, you can just set off.
Just two legs and you're off.
I think that some people see walking as a bit of like a negative, boring, like we have to do it kind of thing, because people are only used to walking when like going to work or something. Like my friends, and me included, some days will be like, I don't want to work. I've got to get up in the morning. I've got to walk to school. I automatically think walking's a negative. Because I've got to walk to get somewhere I don't particularly enjoy. But if you wake up on a Sunday morning when you're not at school and you go for a walk, it's a different kind of vibe. It's a different kind of positivity, which you wouldn't get with somebody who's getting up to go to work to walk. You know what I mean? It's like, you might enjoy walking when you're not in a rush.
Yeah.
Because I think, you, like, if you're someone who might be listening might be from a city for all we know.
Yeah.
And if you go and walk around London, you can't say it's relaxing.
No.
Because you've got to watch where you're going. You've got to know what time you've got to get your tube. You've got to worry about getting hit by a car. You've got to worry about everything, haven't you? You know what I mean? Whereas if you go and have a walk down the lake on a Sunday morning, number one, you're probably going to see no one but yourself.
Yeah.
And number two, it's relaxing, and it's like you said, like we've already mentioned, it's got a positive impact on you.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the mental barrier which people get is, oh, walking's the, oh, I don't want to walk, that's too far, or I walk to get to work, why do I want to walk? And it's like that kind of balance to saying that walking is actually a positive.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. If I'm working with somebody who is very severely depressed or just not in a great place, One of the simplest things I do is I'll say to them, I want you out of the house for at least 20 minutes a day. And that's not necessarily just about walking. Usually what they do is once they leave the house, they walk. That kind of happens naturally. They don't usually walk. They don't usually leave the house and stand outside for 20 minutes. They usually walk. But part of that is about being in the fresh air. Mm. And I don't care how cold it is outside, get out, feel the fresh air and just feel it on your skin. You know, I always say this thing that we are part animal. And I'm not entirely convinced that we are made to live in the very sophisticated, lovely boxes that we've created for ourselves. We belong outside.
Yeah, we do, yeah, we're animals. We are natural. We're just the most developed. As we know, we are the most developed
We're very sophisticated in what we've done. But honestly, there's still a part of us that just wants to be outside.
I don't think we meet our basic needs now. I think with all social media and everything like that, and that we can get everything delivered. You don't have to go anywhere to get anything.
No.
You can literally go on your phone and get anything you want ordered to your house. You don't have to go anywhere.
Everyone's
people
guilty,
don't socialise. Yeah. They think they've spoke to their friends. And that's the other great, great thing with gyms and exercise and like club teams and stuff is that you interact with other people. You see them every week. It's a social thing. And that's what's not been met in so many people and why there's such a problem with isolation, because we're just not doing the things that we're naturally as humans are social animals, and we're just not doing it in the same way as we used to do. And I think you can see the gap.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And in terms of walking, there's a website called Meetup, and it has stacks and stacks of walking groups on there. So if you don't want to walk on your own and you want to walk with other people, then go to Meetup and find out what meetings are taking place and walk with other people. And that way you will be more social as well.
I think it's like the social side of things is just as important as the physical side of things. Because like, at the gym, you have this idea of, you always hear it, I don't know about yourselves, but you always hear it, if you have a partner with you, let's say you get a gym partner, you say, we're going to go to the gym together 3 times a week, you'll probably see that you'll do more, or train harder than what you would if you're on your own.
Yeah.
And obviously, you start creating a bond between each other, if you know what I mean. Like, you've got a bond where you trust each other. Like, if you're doing a compound lift or squatting, for example, you know that if anything goes wrong, you've got to have the belief in your gym partner that he's going to help you. And it's like the bond of creating a friendship whilst doing something which is mentally, because you're creating the friendship, and physically really well for you through the exercise.
Yeah.
And I think that's like something which is vital as well.
Yeah. And that's the same. It works well in class environments as well. Yeah. So it's obviously they can be really nerve-wracking to start with. And I totally get that they're a scary experience for some people to start with. But virtually everybody says once you're in, they're not as bad as you thought they were going to be, and there's quite a lot of like camaraderie, so you see the same people every week, you start chatting to the same people, and like you said, you might push a little bit harder because you can see the other people working harder. So that's a really powerful thing to even people notice, oh, we didn't see you last week, kind of thing, can really make you feel part of something which makes you want to keep going.
You almost introduced like a really healthy bit of competition there. And a little bit of competition can be healthy,
I think. Yeah, competition's healthy as long as you don't take it to the next level.
Yes.
Yeah. As in, I'm better than you, you're better than me. It's like,
it's not about that.
It's not about that. It's about, if at the end of the day, if you've got two people next to each other, let's say like a spinning class.
Yeah.
And you've got someone who you feel might be going a bit quicker than you, but in reality, they're not going as quick as you.
Yeah.
It's like having that mental urge to go faster so that you have, like, if you beat someone, if you win, you feel positive, you feel the positive impacts. Yeah. But in something like spinning, where there's not actually a winner, it's about how you feel mentally. If you come out there thinking, I've done really, really well tonight, that has a positive impact on you, physically and mentally. And I think that's what you got to write. You got to get the balance right between physical health and mental health.
Yeah.
And then you put them together and you are in a really good place.
Well, yeah, that's what the proper cheesy PT talk this is, but there's always going to be somebody who's fitter, slimmer, can lift more. So it's not about looking at other people and trying to be better than them. It's about trying to be better than you were before.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're improving yourself, which is pure cheese, but it's so true.
But it is true. We use this thing in therapy called good enough. And what that means is it's good enough by your standards and not by other people's. Mm. Are you making small progress? Are you making small steps? And for me, that's what it's about. So I can walk into the gym and see five guys way fitter than I am, but I don't care. It's not about that. It's about me focusing on me, doing my little bit of exercise, and then leaving.
I think that's why so many people quit exercise. It's such like they might go for a month or they might do 6 weeks with a PT, and after that 6 weeks, they'll quit.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's because they don't feel confident within themselves or they don't see the progress. I think it's because you're comparing yourself to everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm as guilty as anybody else.
Yeah.
Everyone is. If you've been to the gym, I'd say you're as guilty as anybody else.
Yeah.
I do it especially. When I started training, I was 14, I was in the gym. I'd look around, there might be some 35-year-old who's absolutely massive, and you're like, you know what I mean? You look up to him, don't you? Like, I want to be like that. And it's like, then I'll go on my phone, I'll see some YouTubers who are fitness freaks, and you know what I mean? I see all this thing. If you want to get a... Like, I start getting advertisement, like, if you want to get a body... like so-and-so, try this, or these, like Ellie said, like these supplements are the best for you, or take these tablets if you want to lose weight. Yeah. And it's how you compare yourself to the elite straight away when you just started.
And you can't.
You can't. Well, if you wouldn't compare a year one student with someone who goes to university, would you? Because that student's only been learning for a year. Whereas this student's done 12 years, 15 years education, it's getting it right between people who have been training all their life and people who have just started.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't compare it in terms of education, so why would you compare it in terms of physical activity?
Yeah.
Especially with social media now, you don't even know if they look like what they are showing that they look like. So you might be comparing to something that's not even real in the first place.
Yeah.
It's all the angles.
It's the human.
It's how they stand in the photos. It's all like editing. There's so many editing apps. So you might even, obviously some of them are
genuine,
but you might be comparing yourself to somebody who doesn't even look like that themselves. So it's just a completely pointless battle.
Exercise. But you can't get away from it.
No, and we are all guilty. I do it. Yeah. Everybody does it.
I've never posted a bad picture of myself on social media.
You wouldn't do
it? Never, because I'm not going to do that.
Everybody does it, don't they? Like, I don't know about yourself, well, for me anyway, I dread my birthday because my mum's going to put something on Facebook and it's the only picture of the year.
I love that.
It's the only picture of the year which I'm going to be like, I don't look good in that. You know what I mean? Like, if my friends get hold of this, I've had it. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, you always, if I post something on social media, I've been known to delete it straight afterwards and then post it again.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel... I'm like, oh, I've posted it now, it's out there.
Mm.
And then I might delete it 2 minutes later because I don't feel confident about the photo.
Yeah.
And it's like, why can't I post a picture of me waking up in the morning looking rough as anything?
Yeah,
like, why is he this kind of like, I don't know what the word is, but like there's this kind of expectation that if you post something on social media, you've got to look amazing.
Yeah.
And there's this word going around, especially in like my kind of friendship group or most teenagers, especially boys, there's this word photogenic, which I didn't know what it meant a couple of weeks ago.
What does it mean?
Photogenic means somebody who looks better in photos than they do in real life.
Is that not just those apps, though?
Yeah.
That, like, people never post without using those filters, do
they? It's like, no, it's crazy. It's like, I might have to follow her on Instagram. Someone might follow me on Instagram who I think I know. But if I walk past them in the street, I won't know who they were because they look completely different to what they do in real life.
That's
worse. And it's like...
I'd rather people say I look better in real life.
Exactly. And it's because it's like people who edit, though, don't they? You can edit a photo, and I could edit a photo or have a filter on Snapchat and look completely different to what I actually look like.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is photogenic. People might think they look better in real life than they do in photos, or people look better vice versa kind of thing. It's like, why is this label that you have to look a certain way on social media to fit in with the people who do it for a living?
Yeah.
Like, I'm 15 and I've got to try and... Well, there's this kind of barrier that I've got to try and compete when I post with somebody who models for an elite company.
Yeah.
It's like, why do I need to compete with them? It's like, I shouldn't have to be like
that. The truth is, you don't. I've seen people on Instagram, and I dislike myself for saying this, but quite often it's girls, it's women that do this. And I look at them and somebody will go, oh, that's such and such. And I'll go, what?
Mm.
No, that cannot be. And they've they put different makeup on, they've changed the... There's this thing going around at the minute where they changed the angle of their face.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they took their face forward so their eyes are bigger than the mouth, and their eyes are, like, really big, almost like alien-like. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's nothing like that person that I knew. It's literally unrecognisable, but they do it.
Yeah.
I've got another tip for the gym. You brought it up earlier, and I just wanted to tap into it really quickly. So if I go to the gym and I do 20 minutes or 30 minutes like I did this morning because I didn't have a lot of time, I never, ever walk away from the gym and go, that was a really rubbish workout. What did you do that for? Mm. And I'll tell you why I don't do it, because it demotivates me. Because the next time I go to the gym, my mind will go, yeah, you don't go there because you're not very good at it. Leave it. Whereas if I walk away from the gym and go, well done, that was really good, my mind goes positive experience, and then I go back into it. So never, if you listen to this, never walk away from any kind of exercise and be detrimental to yourself. Always give yourself a positive, because it encourages and it motivates.
Yeah, I got this quote off a YouTuber called Matt Does Fitness on YouTube. And basically he says the worst workout you can have is the one you never had.
Yeah.
He says there's no such thing as a bad workout. It doesn't matter what you do, it's always a positive.
Yes.
Whereas if you sit, like, let's say you went home today and you said it was a waste of time.
Yeah.
And then you don't go tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then that is a waste of time. It's like getting the balance right between going to the gym.
So another trick into motivating the mind and not demotivating it. We are almost at the end of this recording, believe it or not. So I want to ask you both individually, is there anything, any, not words of wisdom because that sounds a bit grand, but anything you want to leave the listener with in terms of, it's a new year, it's the beginning of January, everybody's going to be doing some sort of exercise because it's the time of the year we do it. Is there anything you want to leave the listener with?
Okay, I'll start. I would say that the first thing would be to try and, if you have got a bad relationship with exercise or a bad mental relationship with exercise, try and scratch what you think of exercise as and start right at the start again.
Yeah.
And doing a little bit of something is always going to be better than doing nothing. So just because you don't think that would qualify as good exercise because you're not sweating, about to be sick, whatever, still doing a little bit is better than doing nothing.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I'd say is actually it links in quite well. Me and a few of the other staff are doing a thing called Red Together in January,
cool.
which as much as starting a new year is, there's never a bad time to start doing exercise. But if you do like starting something new in the new year, you can go on the website. It's Red January. And it's about trying to do some form of activity for every day of January.
Yeah.
So that can be anything you want. You don't have to go to a gym. You could do a little bit of yoga in your living room. You could go for a walk. You could walk the dog.
Yeah.
Could be a climbing wall. And it's just trying to get a little bit of activity, whatever you can, into January. So that might be a really nice way to start the year. Try a few new things and see if anything takes.
Yeah, perfect. I like that. Thanks, Ellie.
For me, the biggest thing is, it doesn't matter if it's January the 1st, and you haven't done any exercise. Like if you get to January the 10th and you still haven't started what you wanted to start, don't think you've got to wait till next year.
Yeah.
It don't matter whenever it is throughout the year. If you want to start exercising, don't feel you have to wait till everybody else starts exercising. You start when you feel ready and you're mentally prepared. That's
I like that.
What I've got to say.
I like that. And you've kind of tapped into what I wanted to say. So, you know, new year, new beginning, new you. And I get that. And I see for a lot of people, it's a really... It can be an obvious point to start, whereas I come from a school of thought where every day is a new opportunity. Every day is a new opportunity to wake up and go, I'm not doing that today, I want to change it.
Mm.
Behaviours change whenever you want, even if it's halfway through the day and you're just about to eat a donut and you don't want to eat the donut, put the donut back down. Doesn't start tomorrow, it starts now.
Exactly.
It's a great time of the year to put stuff into place. With New Year's resolutions, which I haven't done for years and years, because we get very disappointed over not managing them or not making them happen. So again, we become demotivated.
Exactly.
This is all about motivation. I just want to thank you both for coming in and being with us today here at Radio Newark to do this very special podcast, looking at the links between mental health and exercise. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You've both been stars.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'd like to have you both back at some point during the year so we can talk some more. So remember, these podcasts are for you. We record them so as you can create a healthier mindset around mental health and well-being. Go out, do some exercise, do a little bit of walking, do a little bit of yoga, like Ellie says. It doesn't need to be mind-blowing or It's just about moving the body. A quote that I read a few weeks ago was, the mind needs stillness and the body needs exercise. Mm-hmm. And as long as we can operate those two things where we have some sort of mindfulness or stillness in the mind and the body gets exercise, then we will be all right. I want to wish you an absolutely massively happy 2020. Do it your way, do the things you want to do, change the things you want to change. Thank you again for listening to these podcasts. If you know of anybody that wants to take part in a podcast, anybody that has a story, then please get in contact. You can contact me through Guthrie Therapy's Facebook page, or you can contact the studio on 01636 678 033. You can email the studio at, so it's studio@radionewark.co.uk. I'm going to go because I've talked enough. Be happy, be very, very kind to yourself, and a happy new year. Take care. Bye-bye.